You're listening to Mobile Agent TV.
Radio!
Oh yeah, radio. Sorry, Dave.
Welcome to Mobile Agent TV. I am Michael Thorne from REMAX Little Oak Realty, and my co-host, as always, is Dave Fuckware from Bridgewater, New Jersey, from REMAX Preferred Professionals. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Well, a buddy of mine was flying back from North Carolina last night and was scheduled to come in through Chicago, and he didn't make it as far as weather goes. How are you guys making out in New Jersey as far as the storm goes?
Well, we got this storm that they threatened us with, but we've got a lot of rain this morning, but so far, you know, it's much ado about nothing. Sweet. We live in New Jersey, so we got all kinds of crazy weather here, but we're good today.
You're used to it. All right. So during the broadcast, as always, you can interact with us live on our Facebook page at facebook.com/mobileagenttv. You can interact with us on Twitter using the hashtag MATVLive. I will keep my eye on that throughout the show. When I look down, I am not ignoring our guests. We are just we're just taking a look at that. Really excited to announce that for all you Canadian REMAX agents that are going to the Canadian REMAX Conference in Victoria in October, that I will be speaking there. I will be doing our iPad for Realtors presentation there. I think it's day one in the afternoon, so make sure you put that on your list of things to do. I just want to have maybe 3 minutes with Michael. I know that's a thing with Dave, but we are really living in a different world. A new world of technology with sort of old school principles. And I want to talk about something that happened with Chris Smith and Austin Ellison over the last 5 or 6 days, something that we should be all using as an example in our businesses about giving forward, giving and creating relationships. And then when you're ready to sort of ask for things, there's a crowd willing to do that. What happened with Chris Smith and Austin Ellison is that they were writing a book. They were going to write a book called People Work. And Austin Ellison is involved in Dotloop, who was on the show, I guess, a month ago. And in order to fund the book, they put it out on Kickstarter, kickstarter.com, where you ask for pledges and they go ahead and do that book. Now, I first started watching Chris Smith back probably about 2 or 3 years ago when he was doing the Tech Savvy Agent, and he had a show, The Q, and a lot of other stuff where he was just giving out information. I'd find it useful, and I'd implement my business. And he never asked anything from me in return or for a lot of other people, except for adding value to our business, which we talk about. So what they wanted to do is they wanted to raise $50,000 to put out this book. So you could go online and you could buy the book ahead of time, and their goal was to raise $50,000 in 30 days. And if they did so, they'd go ahead and produce that book. And 6 days in, they've raised $62,650, and they still got 24 days left to go. So I'm looking forward to getting that book. But it's not necessarily about the book or the quality of the book, although it's going to be outstanding with people like Chris Smith and Austin Ellison behind it. But it's this idea is if you give to your community, if you give to the people around you, like we do on our Facebook page, our community Facebook page, and you involve, when it's time to go ahead and ask for something, those people will be there for you. And I think it's a really good example just to be aware of. Anyways, that's my 3 minutes with Michael. Anything to add to that, Darren? Or I haven't even introduced Darren yet, but there might be something you want to add to that, Darren.
I think it goes deeper than that. Great points. But when the book is released in November or whenever they get it out, everyone who's pledged to the Kickstarter campaign are all built-in advocates now for the book. So instead of just being someone who bought the book in November, they feel a part of the process of creating the book. And so when it comes out, they're going to be touting it out to everybody, saying, you got to check out this book, check out this book. And so that's the beauty of including your sphere or your people around you in the process of creating something and unleashing it out there. Ask for people's feedback, ideas, contributions, and let them be a part of what you're doing.
Yeah, you know what? I feel that way. I was one of the people that put money up for it and wanted to support it. And maybe that's why I mentioned it on the show. I never really thought about that. I've been keeping my eye on, you know, will they make it to their $50,000 goal? And when the email came in saying that they made it, you know, I sent out a tweet to Chris and to Austin and just said congrats. And you're right. I do somehow feel a part of it. So it does go deeper, which is pretty cool. Any thoughts on that sort of thing, Dave, for you as far as building that audience? I know you do. You know, you take care of your customers, and when you ask for referrals, they're there for you.
Yep, absolutely. You know, that's kind of that pay forward thing. We're big on, Vanessa and I are big on that. We just, you know, just do the right thing. I teach that to our team all the time. They always ask you a question just to say, just do the right thing. Just do the right thing is all you have to do. You know, they'll throw a situation at me, and it's no different than this. And I'll just say, well, what do you think the right thing to do is? And the right thing to do in your case here is, you know, knowing Chris Smith, I don't know the other person that's that party there, but knowing him, he's got a lot of knowledge in his head, man. He's got a lot of experience, and whatever that book's going to be about, it's going to be something that we can all benefit from. So just, you did the right thing, and some other people did, and you know, he's got the money, and you know, they're going to produce something that's going to help a lot of other people.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty cool way to go about building our businesses. It's a, like I said, a whole new world. So let me introduce our guest. We've already heard him speak. A lot of you know who he is. A lot of you are watching right now. I can see who's watching, are here to hear Darren speak. So our guest today is the productivity junkie himself, Darren Persinger. You can find him, as always, we read out our guest's 160 Twitter bio. You can get him on Twitter at Darren Persinger. And his Twitter bio reads, "Working with me increases your sales and increases your productivity. If you want to work less and make more money, let's talk." Pretty simple. Welcome to the show, Darren.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
So I had mentioned to you just before we got on the air, I have started following you and watching you, I guess, first of all, discovered you through video and then discovered your blog there. But until I heard you speak on video at Remax R4, I never really knew the history or how you came to be, you know, productivityjunkies.com started. I knew that you had hit a history in real estate as a licensed agent. But why don't you go ahead and tell the viewers sort of your history in the real estate space and maybe the genesis of Productivity Junkies.
So can I just first talk about the Remax R4 event?
Sure.
All right. What an awesome event. That was a fantastic event. And what was interesting for me is I got to talk to, I followed Gary Vaynerchuk. He was on stage before me, and then there was a lunch break, and then I came up and I talked about video. What's interesting to me, and this kind of ties into the background, I'll kind of move backwards, is he and I were talking about our history together. When I started Productivity Junkies, right in the beginning, Gary was in Seattle, and we sat down, we had a conversation about what should I do to launch this new business, and he's like, you gotta do video, you should just be doing video. So there's a video actually online of me and him sitting on a couch in this wine store talking about giving away his book, and then we sat around for another hour just talking business. So I just went completely all in with video, thanks to his recommendation on that. And then 4 years later, there I am at Remax R4, following him on stage, talking about the exact thing that he told me that I should be doing in my business. So I just love how that story circles around, and we had a good time catching up at Remax R4. So thank you for Remax R4 for having me out there to have that opportunity and catch up with Gary. So how I got into real estate. I started off in high school actually putting up signs for real estate agents in the frozen tundra of Wisconsin. So the signs were the wood posts.
Yeah.
Now a lot of agents have, you know, the really light signs that you can just go put in yourself. Back then everyone was rocking out the big posts. And during the winter I have this, it wasn't a machine, but kind of a tool. I had to hammer into the ice myself, put the post up, and go take it down. So I would do that for agents. They would fax an order in, and I'd go put up the sign and take it down for them. That was my first real job in real estate. I had a little Dodge Dakota, and I would just carry the signs around in the back and then keep them in my parents' garage. I was 16 years old when I was doing that. Then when I was 19, I ended up getting licensed in real estate. Sold for a while, had a good-sized team going. We did some good production. And then at 23, I started in leadership, being a managing broker for the office that I was selling in. And that took me up a few years of doing that until I moved out to Seattle to turn an office around. And one morning, my team, my admin staff, was getting let go, so I knew it was coming for me. So I got let go. And that was on a Friday, and on a Monday I didn't know what to do, so I just put the camera up and started teaching like I had done for the last basically 7-8 years of my life, teaching agents every single morning. So nothing was new to me, it's just the technology gave me an opportunity to get my message out to a bigger audience versus the 10 to 20 agents that were showing up each morning to the classroom.
But on that note, Darren, and I think a lot of agents are like this, when we can touch on video real quick, and then we'll get into the topic we want to talk about today is systems.
Systems.
But at the beginning, you must have known that no one was watching, and you were still doing it, or someone was watching. Like,
people still don't watch. It doesn't stop.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Nor do I.
Well, it's a hit or miss. I'll have some videos that have 73 views and then some that have 6,000. It really is hit or miss. But that's why I believe in put as much out as you can, because if you're thinking this is a good video, if you're judging that, who knows? The audience judges that. So if you have something to say, put it out. If you have something to share, put it out and let the audience judge it. No one watching in the beginning. You know who's watching it, though? I cared about the agents so much that I was working with in the office that I was fired from. I knew that they were still watching it. They were still calling. They were upset that I was gone. So it was kind of my way to still contribute and share with them, even though I wasn't their managing broker anymore.
And then how long did it take you to realize that this productivity junkie thing was the new passion and that you weren't going back the other way?
Probably after the conversation with Gary.
And that was how many months after the,
that was 2 weeks after I had,
wow. So right away.
Yeah, it was right away. So I wasn't sure what to be doing, but then when he said, go all in with it, I went all in with it and I haven't looked back.
Cool.
It's kind of interesting that your whole thing kind of started with Gary Vaynerchuk. And that, to me anyway, that going all in, because that's a big thing that he talks about in a lot of stuff, and it's a pertinent message for most real estate agents in my mind. If you're going to do real estate, you go all in.
Yeah,
that's what you did, and it's obvious, you know, that for at least from my perspective, that you're having success at this.
Yeah, you don't want to straddle the fence. That just ends up hurting.
Okay, there you go. I like that.
That's the first tweetable quote of the show so far. So
yeah, I'm usually the ones that have the tweetable quotes, you know, by Valerie Garcia.
Exactly.
But that one there, I'm going to like that one. That one's got to go up.
So if you are watching this live, stay with us. If you are watching this recorded, which a lot of agents are going to be watching this quarter, please pause this video right now. Go down below. Go up above. Find where I've got the productivityjunkies.com link. Go there. Sign up for Darren's daily email. It's well worth it. I love it. I read it every single day. It comes in usually around, I don't know, 12, 1 o'clock. I don't know when it hits my inbox. But it's amazing. So stop right now. Go to productivityjunkies.com and sign up for Darren's daily email. And that sort of leads me to the first question for you, Darren. When it talks about system, it's clear that you practice what you preach as far as your systems go, because I don't understand how you can consistently for that I've been reading 2 years now, 2.5 years, put out an email that has creative, valuable content every single day. That discipline and that creativity, it baffles me. How do you go about doing something like that?
So let me disclose that I am probably the least disciplined person that exists in the world. If you've ever taken one of those behavioral profiles like the DISC or something like that, I don't even show up on the chart for consistency or stability or any of that stuff. So what I do is all learned behaviors. And a lot of it is simplifying what it is that I do. So if you're looking to build systems in your business, make them as simple as possible. I don't have a bunch of different groups that I try to email once a week or I email once a month. If I try to do a weekly email, I would forget about it. Or something would come up and I'd go, okay, well, it's not that big of a deal. I'll do it next week. But once I start doing it every day and I have that time blocked out, I go, okay, I send the email, and it just makes it easier for me to do it, because I don't have an opportunity to forget about it or to make an excuse not to do it. So to me, the simplest thing is actually email every day instead of setting up all these systems and reminders and time block it out once a week or once a month. That seems confusing and complicated to me. So part of the daily email, I simplify it every day to the same group. Whether you are a client of mine, you're thinking about being a client of mine, or you just want to hang out and read something, I don't segment that out. When someone becomes a client, I don't pull them off the list. They still find value in those daily emails. So I don't try to confuse things by getting all these different moving parts. I don't want to over-engineer anything.
Darren, how could you, what you just said, how can the average real estate agent who's out here listening or and their business is really booming along and they're finding themselves overwhelmed, how can they apply that, what you just said, or that philosophy to the real estate business?
So if things are booming along, good, but don't stop doing your marketing or lead generation and find the one or two things that are the most effective and do those every day versus trying to, and this is just my opinion on this, versus trying to make 20 calls one day of the week and then doing other things the rest of the day, just make two or three calls each day. Just, okay, from 9 to 9:30, I'm going to make three calls. That's it. That's blocked out, so then you can consistently do it. It's just too easy to go, well, it's only one day, let me skip it, and then move it to next week, and then I'll try to make it up and do 30 next week and 30 the week after that until I'm caught up. We never end up doing that. You know it.
That's
I don't
a
do that.
Part of it. That's a consistency part of it, and that's kind of what I think is the message there.
Yeah.
It's not what you do.
So think about this with consistency. What you do some of the time doesn't benefit you or harm you. So right now, like for example, I'm trying to lose some weight. If you're on my email list, you've heard me talk about this. I'm down 11 pounds in 3 weeks, trying to lose some weight, get some more muscle. And I had a giant piece of salted caramel chocolate cake the other day. I don't think that was a big deal over the last 3 weeks of me eating right and exercising right. Now, if I had that cake every day, we have a problem. But because I only have it once every 3 weeks, it's not going to harm me. The same goes for your business development, your marketing activities, or lead conversion. If you're only doing it some of the time, it's not going to benefit you. So doing it some of the time won't harm you or benefit you. Just remember that it has to be consistent.
Well, one of the things we do when we go back and we try to set our goals for the year, and you're talking about breaking it down to these little daily things, when we sit down and we look at what we want to do, our team of three at the end of the year, that number is, it's so daunting to look at the number. But when you reverse engineer it to what it takes per month, then per week, then per, like the number of calls or the number of contacts you have to make when it gets down to a day is like, that's it. Because you're looking at them in such segmented things. I think if we all sit back and look at the big picture is scary. And it's like, my father and I talked about this on the show, climbed Mount Kilimanjaro together. My dad was 65 years old when we did it. He focused on for 5 days is, I'm just going to put one foot in front of each other. Like, it wasn't climbing to the top. It was moving one more step. And, you know, he made it. So it's breaking those down into those little tiny, like you say, two calls a day, not 20 calls one day, once a week sort of a thing.
Yeah, that feels like binge dieting type things to me, right? You see people that go try to lose a bunch of weight and then nothing really changes. The behavior hasn't changed. It's just over that period of time they lose a bunch of weight. They end up putting it back on later. So don't do binge lead generation or binge marketing. Be very consistent with it. Make it a lifestyle change. Okay, I'm just going to make – and look, if you're making three calls a day, you can probably do that on your way from home to the office, and then get into your lead conversion and the rest of your business.
So on that note, talking about one of the things we want to talk about was auditing. I think when you're doing systems, you want to be able to audit those things that work. Dave and I, when we originally talked about this coming up to R4, where this was sort of the catalyst for the show, was Remax R4, when we both asked to speak together. We hadn't met each other yet at that time. Was it something we wanted to do? Now, I didn't have a 3 hour of my life on Fridays to do this show. I had to go out and find that hour. So I had to audit. Our team had to audit what wasn't working or what we thought this was going to give more value to, and then get rid of that other thing. So you have sort of a productivity model that you call about auditing your business.
Yeah. So here's the productivity model, and then I'll talk to you about how you can start to time block and do an exercise to see where all these times fit in together. So imagine there's a triangle. We'll start on the outside. On the outside, you have your 80-20 rule or minimum effective dose. And minimum effective dose is a term that I learned from Tim Ferriss. So if you've ever been to the hospital or been in pain and you've taken painkillers, you know if you don't get enough painkillers, there's no result. You're still in a lot of pain. But if you take too many of them, you OD. That's not good. So this kind of goes back to that idea of binging on our lead generation or marketing activities. We do one thing and then we're spent and then we can't do it anymore. So you find the minimum effective dose. What is enough that I can do to get a result but doesn't affect me from being burnt out that I can't go get the result again the next day? So you have your 80-20 rule, your minimum effective dose. On the other side, you have Parkinson's law, which is the time allotted is the time it will take. So if you give yourself a month to complete a project or implement something, it will take a month to do it. Give yourself 2 weeks. Whatever you have to do, shorten that time period. If you time blocked yourself out to make some calls and you give yourself 90 minutes, shrink it to 45 minutes. You'll get it done in 45, okay? And then the bottom of that is accountability. So someone staying with you, pointing out, hey, you're not quite on track with that. And I always think about sports, athletes. The scoreboard is the greatest accountability awareness tool that exists. What if we didn't keep score or keep track of time in a game? The players would just kind of be running around doing whatever. But because they know, oh, we're down by six and there's only a minute left, we really need to turn it on right now. So you have to figure out what is your scoreboard and what's my accountability method to make sure I know where I'm at in this game that I'm playing of sales. So that's the outside of the triangle. Inside, the things that you want to track, there's five types of activities that you could be doing. Number one, useless activities. Just figure out what you're doing that does not need to be done and stop it. The next level up is urgent activities. So these are the things that are going to distract you and prevent you from doing your core activities, the ones that truly make you money. The next level up, you have low dollar producing activities. So things that you could probably hire or outsource someone to do for $10, $15, $20, even $25 an hour, that would be better use. And you focus on the next level up, high dollar producing activities. Okay? And then at the very top of the pyramid, there's what I call impact activities. And impact activities are you creating systems and strategies so that what you do when you figure out how something works, it becomes duplicatable, that you could even start to hire out, outsource your high dollar producing activities. Then you have a true business, not just a job that you've created for yourself. So those are the five levels.
So, Dave, let me ask you this question as someone who's a team leader who obviously delegates. We have a team here, but we're much more on equal partners in our team. I think from my 20 years of experience in this business that realtors, by definition of their personality, the most of them have a hard time letting anyone else do stuff for them. How do we get to a point where you say, you're doing this job, you're doing that job, and maybe that's why you're a team leader, your personality is different, but what Darren just said, get rid of the stuff that can be done by someone else so you can focus on the high dollar stuff, and when you figure that out, get rid of that stuff too as well.
Well, that's exactly how our team is structured. Vanessa and I list and sell, our agents all list and sell, and we don't really delegate per se. The highest dollar volume things that a realtor can do is put people in your car, you know that saying, and go out and sell properties, and that's, we take away all of the things that are really non-productive for a real estate agent from them, the admin part, those things, we take that away from them. We should actually do that ourselves, and I have systems to do it, so I can do it very quickly, and I do most of it right now. So they're out there doing the things that make them money, and we do some of the lead generation. We teach them how to go and generate their own leads if they want. And we pay them extra commission to be able to do that when they bring stuff in. So the way our team is structured, the agents are doing the highest productive thing. It's almost exactly, we don't have a pyramid like Darren described, but we're kind of pretty on with the way he described that, the way our team is structured.
And do you go back and audit your business and eliminate? I know that you're big on that. You're big on distractions. Yeah. You do not like distractions at all, because you've said it 30 times on the show. But sure. but you go back and get rid of the stuff that just is because the other thing too about you, Dave, is you're willing to investigate other opportunities. It's not like you're not closed off to new technologies or new systems. But once you take a look at it, if it's a distraction, it's gone.
Well, so almost by nature. That happens with us. I mean, I don't sit down and, you know, at any given point in time and say, you know what, let me look at what we're doing on a daily basis. Let me see what I can get rid of. It's just by me. It's just like, you know, this is a big waste of time. Because it's all, to me, it's all about the leads, and that's what I focus almost all our time as team leaders is about the leads. I say it all the time. Look, we have this great listing presentation. One of the team members will say, you know what, maybe if we change the colors of this. And I said, it's got nothing to do with that. Our presentation is great. It's all about the leads. We have the leads. We're gonna do the business. So, I mean, and I don't ascribe to the fact that it's somebody else that sort of taught me this. It just comes with a lot of experience. I've been doing this a long time, and I just know it's about the leads, and it's about not wasting your time. And, you know, I just know by nature, this is a time waster, and we get rid of it. And things like Dotloop, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago, I can see that's something that's going to save us time, and I'm going to eliminate something. I have to eliminate something. So it just sort of happens. And it's how you, if you're going to be productive and can keep growing, you have to do those things. If you don't, I mean, you're just going to stay stagnant.
Yeah. Darren, You worked on in an office with agents with obviously a bunch of different personalities. I work on a team. Dave works on a team. But the average realtor watching right now is a solopreneur. It's just them. They're out on their own. Likely don't have an assistant. All the different personality types that have to be in one agent to be successful. You have to be extremely creative, I think. You have to be a go-getter, a people person. You also then have to lock yourself in a dark room and get the paperwork done, if you're using paper or whatever it is, the administration, all that sort of low-end stuff. A lot of agents are doing it all themselves, and I don't think that personality exists in everyone, all the different stuff. Like you say, you by nature are a creative person and not a disciplined, that's a learned behavior. So what is it, what are the struggles that an agent personality-wise has to sort of identify? I'm big on playing to your strengths, but we get to play to our strengths because we're on a team. So because I get to play to my strengths, that doesn't mean something's being left behind. But the solopreneur can't just leave certain parts of the business behind. How do they go about building a system, or is it just simply you have to get rid of that to somebody else?
So this is one of the challenges with real estate sales, period, is that there's no uniformity in the way that real estate is done, even with franchises. So the way that REMAX sells real estate in Langley versus New Jersey, and the way you guys do it is completely different. And that's inside the same brand. But if I went to a McDonald's in BC and a McDonald's in New Jersey, I'm gonna get served up the same way. So when someone comes in and buys a franchise in almost any other industry, they get, here's the methodology. In real estate, we don't know that. We don't have a methodology. I don't even know if we have the best practices figured out. We kind of figure them out, what's the best practice for me individually based upon my market. There's really no place to start. So unfortunately, a lot of agents do have to build their systems from scratch, unfortunately. The first thing I'd caution you to do, though, is don't start building your systems too soon, honestly. If you're a solo agent and, like Dave said, you get caught up into trying to tweak your listing presentation versus trying to find someone to give your listing presentation to, you're going to go broke really slowly, or probably quickly, actually. So don't confuse what your priorities are in the beginning. If you're solo, you don't need to have everything absolutely perfectly documented unless you're ready to go to the next level. You just need to have a framework, a few basic points on, okay, here's what I do, here's how I do it. But most importantly, it's about priorities. So the first priority is I'm going to work on my high dollar producing activities. Then I'll work on my low dollar producing activities. Then I'll try to take care of the things that are urgent. I've eliminated the useless stuff. And if there's any time left over, then I'll start to work on these systems and strategies.
So it's a funny thing that you said, because I think it's a little counterintuitive, and I think a lot of things that make agents successful is going against the grain in life and anything. You say high dollar value, then low dollar, then urgent. Isn't it sort of our nature to deal with urgent right away?
So you got to stop putting out the fires and start preventing the fires from happening in the first place. So that would probably be the first system you figure out. Take a look around, what distracts you from you doing your high dollar producing activities, and build a system to a buffer, a force field to prevent that from happening. That probably should be your first system. So your urgent items that come up don't take you out of the high dollar producing activity stuff.
That in my opinion, that has to do with your standards and how you run your team. We have standards on our team. This is the way we're going to do things. We're going to do the right thing every single time, and we're going to follow this procedure. We're going to give this listing presentation. We're going to give this buyer presentation, or we're not putting them in our car. We're not going to list the property until these criteria and these expectations are measured between people, and that solves 90% of our problems right up front. So standards have to be really strict, in my mind, and important part of your priorities, that your standards are going to prevent you from getting in trouble and doing the things that, you know, take away from priorities, which is, to me, is getting leads.
Well, I can't imagine anyone can be a big producer in this business without systems. I think that if there's one thing that gets you from doing it, you just could never, ever, ever do that. I think the difference between someone who's not producing, that's been in the business for a while, that's had the opportunity to build the business, and the people that have, to me, the only thing in between those two is systems.
You know what I think the difference between an average producing real estate agent is and a top producing real estate agent? Is the average producing real estate agent will find out what works, and then they'll stop doing it. I'm completely serious about that. A top producing agent figures out what works, and then they keep doing it. Oh, if I send out X number of postcards to this neighborhood, I generate X number of listing leads every single month. I'll keep doing that. I see so many average producing agents, they discover what works, and I think it might be a fear of, okay, I found what works, now I need to make sure that I keep that in my back pocket in case I get into a situation where I really need it to work, when I become really desperate for some leads, and then I'll pull that out of my back pocket and use it in that instance. It's a constant of digging new wells instead of, you dug a well, you figured out where the water is, keep going and get in the water.
You hit the nail right on the head.
Well, you know, Darren, and it's funny that just triggered something. I think about a year or so ago, you sent out an email, one of your emails, and it stuck with me. I think it went along the lines of, if you woke up tomorrow morning and you'd done something and you'd made $50,000, $60,000 or whatever the analogy was, what would the first thing that you'd do be? And I can just, in the back of my head, I could see the answers. My answer was, figure out what it was that you do and do it again and again and again and again.
Okay.
And so that was my answer. I think I even emailed you back on that one.
And what do you think a lot of the answers that came back to me? Because there's about 120 that responses to that.
Go on vacation, really, buy a car. No.
No. Dave, what do you think the answers were? The majority of answers, 80% of them.
I have no idea.
It was that they would freak out. They would be stressed and overwhelmed and wouldn't know what to do.
Wow.
Really?
So for the coach mind in me goes, first I realized, okay, I have a good question, because with one question, I have a repeatable question here. With one question, I can figure out what their mindset is about success. So for that group of agents, there's nothing honestly I could do to make them more productive, because already in their head, they're going, okay, if I double my productivity, I have more stress in my life. I'm working 50 hours a week right now. To double my business, that means I have to work 100 hours a week. This is where their mind is going to. So no amount of me giving them the right lead generation systems, the right marketing methods, is going to fix that. They're not going to implement it because they're afraid of success.
So a lot of it's just we wake up in the morning and we're already one step behind.
Yes.
You know what I think one of the other big traits of a top producing real estate agent is, one that's consistent, is balance in your life. There's a lot of, I know some productive agents that have no balance in their life, and their real estate careers are short-lived, meaning it's not something, it's short-lived. They come along, they're cooking, but they're working 80, 90 hours a week. They're getting divorced. They're drinking. They're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And we've all kind of been there. As you progress, you figure it out. But you got to have balance in your life. And when you have balance in your life, in my mind, you're more productive. You're just more productive.
I speak probably 30, 40 times a year, and I've around the North America, and I have picked up a methodology on how I can tell who are the top producing agents at the events and who are the average producing agents. It's when we go on break, which ones are on their phone versus which ones are hanging out and networking and socializing with each other that are there present. The top producing agents don't have to call back in the office and check in to see which fires they have to put out, because they put systems in place to make sure that the fires are prevented or the fire never gets to them.
Or they have somebody who's taking care of business.
Right. Exactly.
Have balance. They're out being educated and they're socializing and so forth. Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
And coming back, like you say, Dave, coming back R4 charged and ready to go. I mean, that benefits your client. And right, you know, Trish just got back into town with my partners and Jordan's still on vacation. I know them taking some time off is the best thing for our business. It is the best thing for our business, because when they come back, they're excited, they're energized, they're ready to go, they've got that balance. And I think it's extremely important to be able to turn things off, Karen, time management. Now you have, I don't know if you're still the time that, I don't really understand the analogy that there's no such thing as time management or time control or whatever the thing is, but you do have Easiest Pie as far as a way of dealing with time management.
So time management first, plan. And let's talk about planning for a second, because your time itself is a system. Technology is fantastic, but it's my observation that the more layers that you create, the less productive you're going to be. So if your time management, your to-do system involves you seeing something, taking that, putting it into one system, and then transferring it to a mobile app, and then taking that mobile app and then looking at it, and then putting it into your Evernote, and then moving your Evernote file over to your calendar system, and then your calendar system giving you updates, you didn't do anything to increase your productivity. You created all these layers and barriers to it. So if the simplest thing for you is to just take a book, and I go through one of these a month, a Moleskine, write down your to-dos or your strategies, your ideas, and then step two, transfer those over to a calendar. Because if it's not in a calendar, if it's not in time blocked out, it won't get done. It's just a good idea. So say when I'm going to do it, I'm going to have it done by this day. Step two, and then step three, just do it. Don't come up with excuses why you can't get it done. So PIE is plan what you're going to do, then implement it, and then the E is evaluate. How did that go? Could I have done that better? Could I have done that more efficiently, more effectively? So that's the PIE side of time management, and I'll just give you a couple steps that you could look at for systems if you guys want to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here's the first thing. If you are ready to add some systems, again, I need to caution you. Do not implement systems. Don't start working on your systems until you start doing your high dollar producing activities on a consistent, regular, sustainable business. Otherwise, you're just – no one pays you for your systems. They pay you for your results. So the system's only as good as the result that it gets. So number one, observe what you do. So how you do it. When I go into a large producing team that has multiple moving parts, I might workshop this. So I take just the buyer's agents. I go, I just want to meet with the buyer's agents for half a day. And I'll ask them, what is your guys' biggest problem when it comes to fill in the blank? We probably start off with lead conversion online. You're given a lead from the team lead. What's your biggest challenge with that? And when we just workshop that, we get they're bad leads. They're not good. We can't get them to respond. They take too long on what they're looking at. Okay, with bad leads, that's relative. We don't know if they're not responding. So let's take something that we can do. How do we get them to respond? And then I'll ask the agents, who's the best here at getting them to respond? Who has the highest conversion rate? Some agent will raise their hand, and then I'll go, so what do you do? What do you say different than everyone else? okay, well, I email them this, and then if I have a phone number, I call and I say this, we document that. So step two, we start to document. And then I give that to all the other agents and go implement this, step three. So we're taking the best, the best agent that's implementing, we're copying their system, we're gonna model what they do, go implement it, step four, come back, analyze it as a team, are we getting better results? Yes, yeah. Has anyone tweaked it? Well, I did this and I started getting better results. Okay, now step five, we're gonna improve it, because you can't just create a system. Here's what I think agents get really confused about, small businesses in general. They think a system is automated. They think that once they create it, they're done, and that they get to go sit on the beach, that someone doesn't have to oversee and actually manage the system. You have to create it, then you still have to manage it and improve upon it. My brother works for a Fortune 500 selling factory automation. You would not believe how many people are involved in having to manage a factory that is automated. So don't just think that you can set it and forget it. It still needs to be managed. So observe, document, implement, analyze, improve. And you do that by just following that circle over and over again.
Makes sense.
It does make sense, but that's the point about it. So you're saying don't sit back and think about ways to improve it. Go implement it. Find out on the fly, in actual practice, whether there was an improvement, and then implement that in, and then go out and practice that again and just fine-tuning it. I mean, if it's and then the other thing too, I guess, what Dave was saying, if your listing presentation works, it's don't be messing with something that works just because you want to change the colors on it.
Right.
And
if you're tracking your numbers and you're seeing a drop off, then there might be something that needs to be improved. But that's why you need to keep tracking your numbers constantly. But I look at this. I was doing a speaking gig a while ago, and it was completely on email marketing. So I asked a bunch of agents, how many of you have a really good script for converting sign calls? And half of the group, there's like 400 agents there, have never taken a sign call in their entire career. They didn't know what I was talking about, a script for converting a sign call.
Wow.
And so we, you know, for us old school guys, we've been in the industry for a while. We know what a sign call is and how, yeah, I'm wondering about the price on the home over on Main Street. And what's the best script to convert that? Now people just go online usually and figure out what the price is, right? So how much effort are we putting into our email marketing? Or are we just kind of doing it on the fly, going, okay, I'll send this email out because this is what I feel like sending out. We've never do we take as much energy and effort to document what that is? What is the best email that I can send to get the highest response rate from these leads?
Yeah, and like you say, you're going to audit everything we do. We send out a newsletter, and anyone who's watching right now that wants the Mobile Agent Team newsletter, so we keep you updated on the way guests are. We always email it out the day before the show, just to, you know, here's who's coming on, here's what we're going to talk about, here's the time that we're on. But the nice thing with the analytics, I've tried to mail it out at 8 o'clock Pacific time and 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock, and it's just simple to go back and try to get an idea of what the highest open rate is. And that's a simple little tweak, and the only way to do it is to send out that email, figure it out. I mean, to sit back and guess what time the open rate is for whatever reason, and it might be even counterintuitive. You might say sending it out in the morning is going to be the lowest opening rate because people's email boxes are full. Well, it doesn't matter what you think. If the numbers come back and the higher open rate is 75% in the morning, well, then who cares what you think is going to be the result? Go ahead and fire that off. And obviously, you've done that with your email. You've sent out 1,000 of them. You send it out at a certain time of the day, I'm sure, but not by accident, for an absolute reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, there becomes a time, I mean, for me, here's two things you should be very careful of. And I got this from Dan Kennedy, and he calls it incest marketing. We tend to do the marketing that has been done in front of us in the industry, number one. Or two, we do the type of marketing that is marketed at us. So I would caution you don't do what I do, the way that I'm marketing to you, because to fully disclose and be transparent, what I found is that my open rate has this long tail, where before, when I was emailing like once a week or randomly, my open rate would be all within the first 2 hours of sending it out. It either got opened or it didn't. What happens now when I send a daily email, it will get an open rate of about 18% in the first 2 hours, and then another 3, 4, 5, 6, 7% for the next week. People literally save my emails and then open them up all at once a couple weeks later. So if you are following my model, you don't know exactly what I'm doing or why I'm doing it, but that's because I've done it 1,000 times. There's a certain result that I get that I've discovered purely by accident.
No, and I wasn't saying to do what you do. I'm just saying you obviously you're doing it for a reason. Everything you've done is, I mean, it goes back to the Virginia Monday episode. If you can't track it, don't do it.
And, there you go. I love
and
it.
It's pretty clear. One thing, because we are branded Mobile Agent TV, Darren, and I'm a huge fan of where this business has gone. We were early adopters to a lot of the technology, and it's made us much more productive. Dave's implemented a lot of technology that's made him much more productive. I don't know what I would do without this piece of equipment. But what's out there? I know that you are a little bit of a fan of sort of the tech stuff too and apps out there. And it always seems to me, it's counterintuitive too as well, the apps that are the simplest are always the most well-consumed. I mean, something like an Instagram can't be more simple, and that's why it's popular. And so it's not all these bells and whistles. It just does what we want to do. What are some of the things that you go out there when you meet and coach with agents that want to do tech that sort of put in systems? Because I've found, because we use much more technology, there's systems in place through that tech that we use, and it's been a lot more easy to manage our business over the last 4 or 5 years than it was in the 90s.
So as far as tech goes, again, I don't want to have a lot of moving parts going on, but my favorite to-do list, I do like using any.do for tracking my to-do lists. But because they have Google Chrome extensions and I can add things via my email also, it's not just on the phone. I don't have to find my phone. Because honestly, I spend probably 20, 30 hours a week on the phone. When I'm done with my day, my phone gets put away. I don't carry my phone around when I go out to dinner or when I'm hanging out at night. The phone gets put away. You look like you wanted to say something, Dave.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to be able to do that. It's just a matter of doing it.
Doing it.
You know, we go out to dinner with a lot of different friends, and you look around the table, and everybody's got their head down, and they're in their phone. And it's just it's nuts. It's just sort of a big time sucker for me. I think it's just a matter of doing it. I love that. Just put your phone away. It's 5 o'clock. There's nothing that won't keep till tomorrow. You know, if your house is burning down, call 911. Don't call me. Because there's never anything that's that important.
So I use any.do and Evernote probably pretty much takes care of everything that I need, honestly.
Yeah, no, they're great. I mean, any.do is great. The other one that I've been using now for about 3 weeks, and I don't know what I did without it, was Mailbox. I think it's an application that just, you know, it comes into your mailbox, and it's either, you know, for your email, you're going to do one of three things with it. You're either going to get rid of it, you're going to read it, or you're going to want to read it or deal with it at another time. And it just simply, it says, you know, which one of these three things do you want to do? And you have the ability to put in there little file folders. With a flick of a thumb, I could have a Daring Persinger email folder, and that goes all back in there. And like you say, once every 2 weeks, I'll go in there and read his emails. So I found Mailbox as a way of dealing with time sensitive or not time sensitive emails. You know, I can email that email back to me a week later when it's time to deal with it, and it's off my table, and I can move on. I quite like it.
So I've used Gmail. I already had a lot of those systems in place, so email can even be a system. So the way that my Gmail is set up is I have folders for that. I have my normal inbox, and I have needs response, read, and hold are the three folders that I've always had in place. And then I don't necessarily try to get to an inbox of zero, because that, honestly, for me, that doesn't make any sense. I feel like that's trying to get your laundry all clean and hung up and put away. That never happens. You're always wearing, you know, at least one pair of underwear. Yeah. So how can you get to an inbox of zero? So my Gmail system, I separate those folders, and then in Gmail you can actually create other inboxes. So I get to look at all four of my inboxes, my normal inbox, my hold, my needs response, and my read, all four always sit in, and I can see them categorized. So then I can go back, okay, who needs a response today, or who should be responding to me? And I can just forward that email to them again and check that off the list. Because I'm an out-of-sight, out-of-mind person. If it disappears, if I can't see it, I'll completely forget about it. So I kind of need to be able to see everything at one glance. So that was a system for my email.
And yeah, I mean, like you say, if it's that, you know, if it wasn't for this piece of equipment, I'd be. This is every deal, everything I have is on here, and because it's there, I don't need to worry about it because I'm not out looking at stuff. And that's what we talked about, Dave, about, you know, dot loop or being paperless. You know where every single one of your deals are right now. I know you do. I know you know where every single piece of paper of every single one of your deals are. Exactly. So there's no question. There's no unease. You know, is that there? Is it not done? It's, you know, you get a call from a notary and. Or whatever, a lawyer, and you can send that off. So using these tech tools in the right way will build these systems. Some of these systems will be built in, and you know, the developers understand when they're building these tools that it is about systems, and there's some great ones out there that are really, really simple. I did want to touch on, Darren, having you on the show and talking about, I've used, I don't know how many times I used your Jennifer Aniston Leprechaun analogy since I saw it in R4, because it's a perfect analogy for people that are scared stiff about video. But you did create, you've already said today that you've created a little bit of your awareness through video when Gary Vee said go all in. I certainly found you first on YouTube and then got over to Productivity Junkies and then signed up for the newsletter, and it sort of seems how it moves on. Dave and I are both huge on video. We do a lot of video under different brands as far as the community stuff, and, mm-hmm. and Mobile Agent TV has its own brand. But just talk to all the agents, and I know Melanie Gallia, who's watching right now, has had huge success by implementing the video that she's done. What can you tell agents about what's coming down the pipeline in the next 4 or 5 years and maybe even sooner than that, and how video can really take you from, like, I feel like I know you, Darren, and in fact, I passed you in the hallway at Remax R4, and I said, hey, Darren, how are you? And you said, good, and you moved on. Yeah, I didn't know who I was, and I didn't even realize I had done it. I just felt like I knew you. We were buddies. I've seen you for hours on YouTube, and I've read your stuff. I feel like I know who you are. So just talk to the importance of video to agents out there watching.
All right. So one thing can I say before I get into that? I just want to go back to systems.
Sure.
One last thing on systems here, and we can come back around to it if we still have time. But what I wrote down as a note that I wanted to make sure I got out is the exceptions versus rules and systems. I think a lot of people, when they start creating a system, the challenge becomes, they're like, but what happens if this happens, or what happens if that doesn't happen? And they start letting all these exceptions creep in and stop them from creating the system. Or as the system is working, something creeps in and they go, well, now what do we do because this happened? Ignore the exceptions. Create the systems for the rules. If an exception happens, document it. If it happens again, document it. If it happens a third time, then maybe you need to go, well, this seems to be starting to become a rule now, so now how do we add this to our system? But don't try to account for every little thing that could happen. You'll never create a system then.
That's a great, yeah, you're right. And you say find ways to manage the fires before they happen, because those are it is. I mean, how many different objections are there in a listing presentation? The same five, same six every single time?
Yeah, it's the same thing every time.
So once you have a system in place to handle those objections and to create some sort of conversation with your client that helps to explain that, then there are no further objections. And that's why you have a very, very successful listing presentation, Dave, is because you've heard those rules, those six rules of those objections. You have a system to explain that objection. And then it's problem solved. So and then every once in a while at a listing presentation, you get hit something out of left field, and that's the exception. But the rules, I've been doing this 20 years. It's the same five.
We teach our agents, when you do a buyer presentation or a listing presentation, what you're doing is you're handling all the objections that you could possibly get before the buyer or the seller says a word. Now, and again, that's sort of an exaggeration, but you know, before they get to respond to anything, we've covered it already.
Well,
this can happen, that can happen, and you're right, that's perfect.
So good scripts, good presentations are systems of themselves. So like with your listing presentation, Dave, what you're doing is you're preventing the fire from ever coming up. An objection is a fire. And so if you don't come in with a good listing presentation, you have to get good at objection handling because you're not putting it out ahead of time. Come in with a great listing presentation, the fires never come up.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the title of our listing presentation is How to Create a Headache-Free Listing. That's the title of the presentation that we give to RE/MAX agents, teaching them how to put together that presentation.
Just in the title, Dave, you're saying, here's how to not have fires.
Exactly.
Awesome. Yeah.
Great. All right.
So going back to video.
Sure.
One of my phrases that I've come up with that makes sense to me is your objective should be to become an approachable resource. I don't want to be a guru or a thought leader or a productivity ninja or any of that stuff, and I don't think you should be either. I think you should become an approachable resource because a lot of people, if you look at reality, a lot of people are asking their brother, their neighbor, their in-law for advice when they don't have good advice to give at all. But it's because they're approachable, they're going and talking to them. So don't confuse the ability of you being able to put out a lot of great content and become the expert as that someone's going to be able to approach you. I've worked with agents that do this. They become the expert in their neighborhood, their community, but people still go and use the agent that's easiest for them to use, a family friend or whatever it is. So by being the expert, you didn't get ahead of anything. You still need to be approachable. And sometimes I think people don't think experts really are that approachable anyway. So I would just really tune that into your head. Am I an approachable resource?
That's a great tweet. If someone wants to tweet that out that's watching right now, I think that's the clearest I've ever heard that put, Darren. You're right. All the expertise in the world doesn't help you if your phone doesn't ring.
Mm-hmm. Right? So the future for video. Here's what I would do if I did get back into real estate sales. And so anyone who wants to take this idea and run with it. When agents are confused about what they should be making videos about, go turn on cable television and you'll see 3, 4, 5, 6 channels completely devoted to real estate. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Your industry, our industry, it's so amazing that there's cable channels completely devoted to it. Not just shows, complete channels, HGTV, do-it-yourself television, all of those channels. What I would do, just sit down one weekend and write down every show that you see. And then go, how do I localize that? I don't think the future is just you doing a video blog or showing property. But what happens to the homeowners? Are you creating content for the homeowners? What I would do is you know someone from your sphere that needs a screen door fixed. I would call up a local handyman that's willing to maybe repair it for free. Video him repairing the screen door, talking how he's repairing it, and say, I'm going to be sharing this out to my YouTube channel, to my sphere, my database. So anyone that wants help fixing a screen door, they'll call you, or maybe you're getting some branding yourself. Film that process, upload it to your YouTube channel, then share that out with your sphere. Hey, here's a do-it-yourself project on fixing your screen door. I would create consistent, regular programming about how to do things yourself around your home, whether it's repairs, build your own portable bar in the backyard, whatever it is, and then using local relationships of landscapers, handymen, whatever it is, get them involved in the project itself. Create your own HGTV for your sphere, for local consumption.
So using local resources.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
And you know, I don't know this agent's name, but this is a little bit of a model of an agent that I heard of in Minneapolis, Minnesota, years ago before any of this online stuff. What he did, if anyone knows who this agent is, I would be happy to give him credit and we'll add his name somewhere in the show.
Sure.
But what I heard that he did is he went and basically bought every single item that you could get at an A to Z rented place. And then he would just communicate with his sphere every month through a newsletter, hey, if you need a weed whacker or a hedge trimmer or whatever it is, let me know. I have it. And he would give it to them for free. So now they're out, you know, trimming the bushes. And the neighbor's like, hey, where did you get the new hedge trimmer? Oh, I got it from my real estate agent. And so he just had a huge garage of all of these products. So I would just use that idea and go to the next level and add the technology and the digital face to it.
Wow, interesting. That's very, very, very cool. Well, on that note, a little bit of nugget on a video. I don't think we can get higher than that, but that was awesome. Darren, anything else you want to add at the end of the show here?
No, that's it. I appreciate you guys having me on, and like I said, I had an awesome time at RE/MAX R4. So thank you, RE/MAX, for that.
Yeah, no, it was a great event. I'm looking for the next one. I think Dave and I, now that we've built this, is going to be a little bit of a different experience. But that was fantastic. Dave, any takeaways from the show that you want to that you want to mention?
Well, there was some great cable TV ideas. I mean, you know me. My head goes down. I'm not being. I'm writing. I'm making notes, and there's a lot of cool things I got, especially the video stuff about the putting all that stuff in your garage and all of that. But I have a lot of systems, so I took away some pretty cool things. The exception versus the rules. I kind of like that one too. So I do look at your email every day, Darren. I will be subscribing to the higher level, by the way, because I find it very interesting. You got some great ideas.
Awesome. Darren, thank you.
Darren, we're going to have you come back on, because I know, you know, a lot of video information that you've got. You've got blogging info. You've, like, the ideal guest for the show based on your expertise and your ability to communicate. It's fantastic. So, Darren, tell people that are watching right now how they can go ahead and get a hold of you.
Just go to productivityjunkies.com and you can get signed up for the email list there. And then on that site is all the ways to contact me, to either see the YouTube channel or Facebook or Twitter or whatever. It's all at productivityjunkies.com.
Thanks, Darren. Awesome. Awesome. Really, really appreciate you taking time out of your day. So our next show is going to be June 21st at 10 a.m. Friday, June 21st at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 o'clock Eastern. We had to move Cardavi around. They're going to come on the following week. So we are in the final stages of securing a new guest for that show. We will be on June 21st, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern. If you've got any referrals heading out to the East Coast, I know Dave's got to go work right now. Look at him. He's starting to get a little antsy. He's going. If you've got any referrals going out to the East Coast of the U.S., pick up the phone, send a tweet, send an email out to Dave, and he'll get you the hands of the right RE/MAX agent in the area. If you've got anything coming out to the west coast of Canada, just north of beautiful Seattle, pick up a phone, give me a call, and I will get you in the hands of the right RE/MAX agent. And as always, Melanie Gallia, our third wheel to this Mobile Agent TV project, wants us to end every show by saying, tell five other RE/MAX agents about the show. Our audience grows every day. This has been awesome. We really appreciate all the support, so go ahead and tell five other RE/MAX agents. Thanks, Darren. Oh, you got one more thing, Dave.
Yeah, Melanie's watching, which I know she is. Stand by. I'm going on vacation in a couple of weeks, so sharpen your skills. We'll be calling you.
Perfect. Thanks, Darren. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, everyone, for watching. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to Mobile Agent Radio.